forgive me. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, He who came and sacrificed all to make it possible that we can go to be with His Father in Him. It's an interesting thing to the world. It's a fantasy. It's a fairy tale. And yet the Holy Spirit bears witness to us that He is the risen Christ. He is. That's what He said. He is. He is the great I Am. And the emissary of the great I Am. Because He came and was given all power in heaven and in earth that we might enjoy the blessings which will come to those that are faithful. For a scripture, I'd like to turn to the 83rd section of the Doctrine and Covenants. If any man shall go and preach this gospel of the kingdom, and fail not to continue faithful in all things, shall not be weary in mind, neither darkened, neither body, limb, or joint, and a hair of his head shall not fall to the ground unnoticed, and they shall not go hungry, neither athirst. May we turn to our opening hymn number 45, pardon me.
Thank you. Almighty God, our kind and loving Father in heaven, we come now before you, Lord, to thank you for this beautiful and wonderful day that you have prepared for us. We thank you, Father, for the liquid sunshine, and we thank you for the warm and bright sunshine. And we thank you, Father, for the sun that has shone in our hearts throughout this day. We ask now, Father, that by the power of thy Spirit of love, you would kindle in each and every heart the burning fire. As we prepare to hear the words that our brother Lucas has prepared and that you've placed upon his heart, and we pray, Father, that you would author each and every word that he speaks here this night. We ask, Father, a special blessing upon any and all who might be in distress at this hour. May your comforting spirit come upon them and bring them relief and bring them peace and bring them comfort. Attend us now, Father, throughout this hour as we desire to bring nothing but honor and glory unto thee. And this is our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our scripture reading this evening comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 8. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire.
Until my heart is pure,
Well, good evening, everyone. I want to thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight. It's been a long time coming for me to finally be up behind the pulpit again, getting snowed out two times. But we're finally up here, and it's good to be back. So in regards to my scripture reading tonight, when the Lord first put that on my mind, I was like, oh boy, I'm going to read that, and everyone's going to think this is going to be one of those, you know, real heavy, oh, repent or be burned sermons. But, you know, really, it's when the process was done, it's kind of one of those more happy kind of, I think I can walk out of this smiling kind of sermons. But I want to thank the Turner family for their ministry of music tonight. That was absolutely beautiful. And believe it or not, music plays a big part in the story that I'd like to share tonight. And I'm sure we all understand the feeling of going through life and kind of having the experience of, you know, you've got these temptations, these things that you've felt like you've overcome before, but they just kind of come back, you know. They come back to haunt you, and you kind of look at them and you're like, what's one time? It can't hurt, right? And then you justify it again the second time, going, you know, it's not gonna hurt. It's not gonna be that bad. You know, I can get away with it a couple times, but you know, and then it just keeps happening again and again and again, and it just gets worse and worse, and gets to be bigger and bigger until it gets to the point when it completely controls you, and you have no way out except to get down on your knees and repent. And I've been going through kind of something like that, where I had something that, you know, kind of bothered me a little bit. And then, you know, like I said, you know, I kind of justified it as, oh, I can do this one time, it's fine. Oh, I can do it again, it's okay. And then it got to the point where it was controlling me. And by the time that I realized that it was controlling me, I finally was able to see the chains that held me down. And it was hitting me really hard one night as I was driving home from work. I felt so crushed, so burdened, and I didn't think I was ever going to get out of it. I was like, I can't do this. I can't even breathe with this thing on. And I had my car plugged in, or my phone plugged into my car. Imagine how the reverse situation would have looked. But had my phone plugged in, and I had my internet radio going, and I had it set on a Christian station, and a song by Matthew West came on, and it's called "Hello, My Name Is." And the words to that song hit me very hard. And I remember getting to hear the song before he released it on his albums and stuff like that. And the whole theme behind the song was wearing a name tag that said, "Hello, my name is defeat, regret, guilt, sin." And right now I'm wearing a name tag that says, "Hello, my name is regret, defeat, guilt, shame." And I'd like to read you some of the words to this song, and I hope that they kind of open your eyes to the same thing that I saw that night. "Hello, my name is regret. I'm pretty sure we have met every single day of your life. I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. These are the voices. These are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time." Oh, I can't even read it right now. "Hello, my name is child of the one true king. I've been saved. I've been changed. I've been set free. Amazing grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I'd like to turn now to 1 John chapter 3 and read you verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, but doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And the song goes on to almost exactly quote what I just read, that it is a crazy, indescribable love that God has lavished upon each and every one of us that we can be called his children. And then it's because of this love and this sacrifice of his son that we are no longer defined by our mistakes, our bad decisions, our imperfections, our flaws, all the guilt and shame. All of it was nailed to the cross and sealed in a tomb, never to come back out. But something came out of that tomb still. Love, perfection, salvation, and freedom. The Word made flesh. Jesus took all the bad in us. He took it upon himself. He became sin itself. He went into that tomb, and 3 days later, he put death in its place. He shattered the bonds that sin held over humanity and cast a healing light into the darkness. That hit me all in the space of just a few minutes upon hearing that song. And I had to pull over to the side of the road a little bit to kind of let myself calm down a little bit, because it was incredibly powerful. And I immediately went and downloaded the song to my phone so that I could have it at any point that I needed it. And I continue to think on that song and just kind of what those words really mean and the kind of freedom that we're given to not have to worry about being defined by our mistakes anymore. And recently, I had the pleasure of joining my family on a vacation to South Padre Island, Texas, where I got sunburned, and if you had seen me a couple days ago, I looked like a lobster. But I was on my first flight back home. I had a little bit of a layover in Dallas, but I was flying home, and I was pondering kind of what I was gonna say for tonight, and that experience came back to me, and it hit me like a tidal wave, all brand new, all over again. And the Lord also brought something else to my mind, and it was just right there. I knew, I was like, okay, I've got to write all this down. So, you know, I pull out my phone, and I'm madly typing away at my keyboard, and tears are streaming down my face, and I'm pretty sure that the guy next to me on the flight looked at me and went, is this guy okay? He's crying and madly typing into his phone, but I hope that, you know, he understood that I was experiencing freedom at that moment. But as I was writing all these things down, something else was kind of brought to mind, and it was, you know, we all have these kind of childhood dreams, you know, of, you know, growing up to be president or being a doctor or something like that. Well, one of my childhood dreams was to grow up and be a superhero. And I'm sure that everyone had that at some point. But, I mean, who wouldn't want to be a superhero, you know, putting on a pretty slick costume like Batman and, you know, going throughout the city, throughout the world and saving lives. And I had spent so many hours of my life daydreaming about being Batman, you know, saving people, stopping crime, you know, getting to be a real-life superhero. And one of these days, I sat down and started compiling a list of all the things that I would need if I was ever to be Batman someday. And, you know, I had the usual stuff, you know, costume, cape, gadgets, and fighting ability, and And then I came to something else. And I was like, it'd be really nice if there was some sort of manual or instruction book, you know, something along those lines to kind of help me, you know, in those times when I needed it. And I immediately stopped my list right there because I told myself, there's no superhero handbook. There's no manual like that. Not the way that we would think of it, you know. Because superheroes, the way that we see them, you know, in the comics and movies and everything, those kind of superheroes don't exist. There are other real-life heroes, and those are people in law enforcement and the armed forces. Those are the real heroes. But, you know, heroes like Batman, Superman, Iron Man, all that stuff, they don't exist. So there's no written handbook for that kind of stuff. And I remembered that moment and feeling like, wow, I can never be a superhero. I can never be Batman. And then God brought to my mind something else. Not too long ago, I had been just sitting in my room and just enjoying some peace and quiet when I stumbled across these old cartoon VeggieTales movies that I used to watch, and one of them had its own little series, and it was called The Cartoon Adventures of Larry Boy, and Larry Boy is a cucumber who is the VeggieTales world's kind of like superhero, main superhero, and one of these movies was called Larry Boy and the Angry Eyebrows, but Larry Boy in this little world, so to speak, he once a week goes to a community college in the city that he lives in for superhero class, and they have a manual that they read from, and I remember watching these movies and making my parents watch these movies with me over and over and over so many times as a kid. And looking back and watching it again, I finally saw something that just blew my mind when I saw it. And that was when the instructor would read from the superhero manual, the superhero handbook. He was reading the Bible. And it hit me really hard that, whoa, hey, you know, we do have a superhero handbook, but it's not the kind of handbook, nor is it the kind of superhero that everyone's thinking of. The kind of superheroes that God wants us to be are not the ones that go out and beat people up and, you know, glide across rooftops and, you know, have these really cool gadgets they just whip out of their belts and stuff like that. Now, the kind of superheroes that God wants us to be are the kind that, you know, they don't have to jump from rooftops. They don't have to have any sort of fighting ability whatsoever. They don't even have to have any cool gadgets. They're the kind of superheroes that every single day have a smile on their face, that are giving off this light, showing the world that, hey, there's something different. There's something better out there for you than what you're seeing, what you're living right now. And it's that kind of example that those cartoon movies try to portray, that it's not about the gadgets or anything like that. It's about the example that you set. And that brought me back to another thing. This is when God really takes control of things, or, well, when you let him take control of things, you know, it's just kind of amazing, the whirlwind of adventure that he takes you on. But I was brought back to this last summer when I was on staff at Mammoth Camp. I was one of the CITs, and for the opening day when we were welcoming all the campers to the campsite, we did a superhero theme, and all the kids would have to go through these little superhero training courses, and it was so much fun. We had a blast. But anyway, I was wearing my Batman costume and breaking out my best Batman voice for everybody, and I was the first hero that the kids ever saw, and I gave them this little speech before they went on to go through their classes, and it was I want to read that to you. An ancient and powerful evil ravages this world. If we want any chance of stopping this evil, we must stand as a united body. Where you've come from, who you are, doesn't matter anymore, because here, you get new identities. And once those words went through my head again, I kind of just stopped, and you know, everything kind of came together at that point. From, you know, saying, hey, you know, my name used to be regret, used to be defeat, used to be shame, guilt, sin. You know, now my name is Child of the One True King. I'm someone different. I have a whole new identity. I can now be that superhero, that awesome, upstanding, leading by example person that God has called each and every one of us to be. And it was just absolutely stunning. Stunning does not quite cover it, but just when God really pulled all that together and then laid it in front of me and said, here you go. Here's how all these things connect. Talk about it. It's absolutely wonderful. But now I would like to turn to the book of Romans. We're just jumping all over the place tonight. Here we are. Let's start with Romans chapter 6, verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And then I'd also like to turn to chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So right there, with the sacrifice that Jesus made for all of us, we've been set free from death. We've been set free from the things that we thought used to define us. We've been changed. We've become new people. We've become different people. We've become better people. So, to kind of end things off tonight, I want to give you a little bit of an introduction to who I am. My name tag right now says, hello, my name is regret, defeat, guilt, shame. Because of what Jesus did for me, what he did for everybody, I have a new name tag now. And it says, hello, my name is Child of the One True King. So I want to ask you, before you leave here tonight, what does your name tag say?
Thank you, Lucas. I think everyone can understand the situations which he portrayed because we're all human. But Christ also became human for us. And those things which are negative, that tear us down, that cause us to be regretful, have been done away. We can walk away here tonight with a new name tag, as Lucas just said. We have a new life before us right after this service. The life which we choose can be that which we want it to be Because the good Lord has promised to bless us as we attempt to do His will. Some things are very hard to change. Well, I speak from myself. Perhaps you have some things which continually bother you that you'd like to change. But if we pray for one another, they'll be much easier. And if we pray unto our Heavenly Father, victory is assured. I'm grateful for your being here tonight. I'm thankful to the good Lord for all those things He's blessed me with. And I'm certain that each of you, as you examine your life tonight, you recognize the blessings which have come to you. Maybe turn now to hymn number 79, Lord, let thy blessings rest in peace. And then Brother Bill will pronounce the benediction at the conclusion of the hymn. Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus, to thank you for all your wonderful gifts and blessings to us each one, and for this day of reflection. And I would ask, Father, that as our hearts are expressed before Thee, that we truly might be repentant, and that we might be more diligent in our witness before Thee, that we might always be valiant in our testimony of your Son, that we might be that people, that peculiar people that you've called us to be. Father, I ask for your good gifts and blessing upon our sister, Eleanor Gregg. You know of her, Father, her faithfulness and her diligence and thy will, that you might bless her this night, whatever she stands in need of, that she might know that you are by her side. And I pray for all those names that are on our prayer list, Father, this night, that they too might be visited, that your blessings might be forthcoming to each one, and that you might go with us and bless our homes and bless our stewardships, that we might be wise stewards over all those things that you've trusted into our care and keeping, Father. As we wait for that glorious and great day of the coming of your Son, bless us to this end always, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.